Hi, everyone. I'm Debbie Statler, Editor-in-Chief of Provider Magazine, the flagship publication of the American Healthcare Association and the National Center for Assisted Living. I'd like to welcome you to this episode of Perspectives in Long-Term Care, a monthly podcast produced by ACA and NCAL. Each month, we'll talk with long-term care and assisted living professionals about the opportunities and challenges impacting the long-term and post-acute care profession. My guest today is Zakiya Jackson. Welcome, Kiki.
Awesome. I'm so excited to be here and just share my journey in long-term care.
Zakiya Jackson is a nursing home administrator at Walter B. Crook Nursing Facility. She has worked in healthcare for 20 years, with more than 10 years as a nursing home administrator. She has earned several accolades during her career, including the 2016 Mississippi Healthcare Association Caregiver of the Year. Kiki also serves on several industry committees and was an Area 2 Vice President for the Mississippi Healthcare Association Board of Directors. Kiki, let's start at the very beginning. Tell us how you began your career in long-term care. What really made you interested in this field?
To be honest, I was never interested in it. I was one of those people who said I will never work in a nursing home. I'm a social worker by trade. My original career was social work. And my big sister is a nurse. She was a nurse at a local nursing home. And every time the social work position came open, she would call me about coming to work there. And three times I told her no. And the fourth time I was just like, you know what? I want to be a social work consultant, so I'll try it. And long story short, I fell in love with long-term care, with the residents, with the caregivers that provide care for the residents. And so I found my ministry in long-term care.
It's amazing how those personal connections really draw people into the industry. And I'm glad she asked you a third time.
Me too.
Let's dig into some topics around diversity, equity, and inclusion in long-term care. In your view, why is diversity in leadership particularly important in the long-term care sector?
I think it's important because diverse individuals bring new thoughts, new concepts, new problem-solving techniques. And we also bring new skills to the table because we have different stories. We have different experiences. And every story and experience, it molds the leader, and it also molds what they will provide. Additionally, it helps the staff and the residents to see leaders that look like them. It makes them more trusting of the care that they will receive and what they are being told. So that's another layer as to why diversity is so important in leadership. But lastly, our nation has changed. We've always been considered a melting pot, but as a nation, we are more diverse. The people are more diverse. And I don't want us to just think about diversity in terms of race. Also age, religion, sex, hidden diversity. There are so many different angles. As people, we are so very different that it helps when we have people who have similar stories and journeys as ours.
Absolutely. I love how you mentioned sort of the building trust aspect of diversity. When folks, whether it's staff or residents, see people, hear people that have similar stories, that trust and that relationship can get built between them. Can you share a time when you overcame a challenge in your work in diversity, equity, and inclusion? And maybe how did this experience shape your approach to future challenges?
Long-term care administration is a challenge in itself. It's a very rewarding challenge, but it is a challenge. As far as diversity goes, a challenge that I have experienced, and it still pops up from time to time, is people not recognizing me as the leader of the facility based on my appearance. And a story from early on in my career as an administrator, I was the assistant administrator for a 180-bed facility. And a surveyor thought I was the housekeeping supervisor, even though I was dressed business casual, and my name badge said Kiki, assistant administrator. And so all of the issues throughout the survey process that were housekeeping or environmental related, she kept bringing them to me. I didn't know why. Of course, I assisted with getting everything resolved. And during the exit, when my administrator introduced me as her fabulous assistant, she was so embarrassed. And she hugged me and she just said, I was just telling them how wonderful the housekeeping supervisor was. And I didn't realize it was the assistant administrator. I'm so sorry. And I think it was an eye-opening moment for her. And so one thing that I keep in mind is I can't change how others may view me when they initially meet me, if that makes sense. I can't change what they will see. I have to keep the main things first, which are the residents and the staff, being there for them, supporting them, ensuring that the residents have a wonderful home and that the staff have a wonderful workplace. And when I do those things, and I do those things consistently, and make those things first, it will always change the mindset of others.
What a beautiful story that you were able to be open-minded and to really change her perspective and maybe question making assumptions right off the bat so that hopefully she brought that experience into her future experiences as well. So from your experiences, what are some effective strategies that organizations can adopt to enhance their diversity, equity, and inclusion?
Some things that I have done are, of course, team building. Team building is always a focus, and not just occasionally or monthly. There should be some form of team building activity daily, regardless of how big or small it is. For example, in my morning meetings, we have a different team building topic every day. Mondays are where we share our mistakes. What mistakes did we make last week that we learned from? And what did we learn from them? On Tuesdays, we do a different kind of team building topic. What can we do to improve the team? On Wednesdays, we share our win. What was a win, whether it was personal or professional, for the previous week? On Thursdays, we write staff thank you cards, whether it's the 11 to 7 staff because we got great comments from family members, 7 to 3, just whatever is going on in the building at that time. Me and my management team, we write 2 thank you cards a week to different staff members. So they know that we're thankful for what they do, and it makes everybody cognizant that, hey, they see the great things that we're doing. And the management team, it gives them an opportunity to look for the good instead of the negative. And then on Fridays, we do Fun Fridays, where we create meaningful moments for the staff to connect. And so that Fun Friday could be a game for the staff. It could be breakfast for the staff because people love to fellowship over food.
Yes.
And then I do something here called a party card that the residents and staff love. I have a party card music list. It's party music. And I push a card around the building with snacks. And it will have something like a corny saying like, WBC staff and residents are the sweetest. And then the card is full of sweets. Very corny, but very effective. Celebrations, making sure that we're finding meaningful moments to celebrate and celebrate that. Forcing team members to work with people that they never would have worked with before. For example, if we're having an issue that could be CNA related, pairing a 7-3 CNA, a 3-11 CNA, and an 11-7 CNA together to see how can we resolve it and resolve it over all shifts. Pairing people together who may come from different backgrounds to work together on a project. That way they get to connect over the project and hopefully there are more meaningful conversations that way. During diverse events, for example, Black History programs. And then for those staff members who are not African American, I don't want to say educate, but talk to them about how they can be a part of that experience in a meaningful way. Because people want to share the experiences and the moments, but sometimes they don't know how to do it in a way that is meaningful and respectful. And so those are things that strategies I've used for years that have worked and things that I would advise anyone to do in their facilities. Very simple, but to be consistent with them is the key.
I love those ideas. And I really like how you focus on breaking down that initial hesitation or barrier. Like you mentioned, when you put two different people on a project, they can connect over to the project and hopefully that spills over. It really removes that unknown factor so that people can really start that connection process. You are currently in the AKA NCAL Diversity Executive Leadership Program, which we call DELP. DELP provides individuals from underrepresented groups access to support and opportunities for leadership in long-term care. What attracted you to DELP? What were your motivations in applying for the program?
What attracted me to DELP was it's a program committed to leadership development for diverse members of AKA NCAL, whether it's people of color, different religious backgrounds, sexual orientation, or that we traditionally don't see in leadership positions. And the program is committed to helping us learn more about AKA NCAL, how we can become more involved, and how we can be leaders in the industry one day. And the industry will not change unless there are more individuals willing to step up and be vulnerable and participate in programs like DELP.
How has participating in DELP influenced your perspective on diversity, equity, and inclusion in the workplace?
Participating in DELP has made me even more self-aware as a leader because we're paired with individuals throughout the country with different backgrounds, different stories. And we know that culture changes also based off of location. I'm exposed to cultures that I may not traditionally be exposed to due to my location in the state of Mississippi. Also, just the ability to listen to everyone's story, to connect with everyone's story, and just to remember that their story may not be my story, but it's still as important as my story, and that story can still make a difference. Just because there are differences doesn't mean that we all don't belong.
Exactly. Everybody just wants to be heard and seen and listened to, and that's so valuable. In what ways has DELP enriched your personal and professional growth? What have been some opportunities for you personally?
Personally, DELP has definitely revitalized me as a leader. Once again, I've been in healthcare for 20 years, and I've been an administrator for over 10 years. Our industry has evolved, which we know that healthcare is evolutionary anyway, but long-term care has evolved at a very quick pace. And I would speak for any leader when I say, I think all of us were a little burnt out due to the pandemic.
Yeah.
And so depth really gave me a fresh perspective. It helped me to see where I was currently on the leadership journey, what changes I wanted to make as a leader, and how did I want to be seen by my team? Because that perception is also important. And one thing that I've always wanted my residents and staff to see is my love. I want them to know that at the end of the day, I love our elders and I love the people who care for our elders. But when we love something and we're passionate about it, we're not always perceived as loving it, because sometimes the passion can overtake the love. And so it's just being calm enough where the staff and the residents can see me for my love of them, love of working with them, love of being there to serve them, and the love of this industry.
That's amazing. I love how you use that reflection, the time to take a pause and really be self-aware and reflect on how you want to appear. I think it's so easy to lose that when you have your day-to-day tasks. Yes. And you just put your head down and you get your to-do list done and all of these things, but to really take a moment and give serious thought to who do I want to be? What do I want to communicate? How do I want to show up as a leader is so valuable. Describe a situation for us where your Delp insights inspired you to tackle a challenge with an innovative approach.
Oh, that is a very good one that I've been thinking about. I would say that one thing that my Delp experience has helped me with is giving others room to share in our all staff in services. For example, at the end of the meeting, I give the staff the opportunity to share, hey, what are your thoughts about what we just discussed? What questions do you have? Let's get that all out there now so we can move forward when we leave this room in a positive direction, and we're bought in and we're engaged and we're ready to move forward with this. And also giving them the opportunity to provide me with feedback as their leader to ensure that I'm giving them the support that they need to do their job to the best of their ability, which is going to in turn help my residents receive the best care. Delp has really inspired me to be more self-aware, to reflect more, and to incorporate processes in the facility where the staff feels comfortable in giving the facility leadership feedback, whether it's positive or negative, and creating the outlet to do that.
I have to say, your staff sound like they are very lucky. Not only the daily team building and the party cart, which sounds amazing every Friday, but also your ability to receive feedback, to see who they are and really develop that community amongst your staff. It's really amazing. And I 100% support what you said, that the more the staff are seen, recognized, connected, that just turns into a better resident experience all across the board. So I look forward to hopefully one day seeing your party cart in action. That sounds fantastic. Looking ahead, where do you see diversity, equity, inclusion in the industry in 10 years, in 20 years? What do you see as your role as we continually evolve in diversity, equity, and inclusion?
That's a good question. Diversity can't stand alone. Diversity is just an initiative to get different people in the room. Inclusion involves a complete mindset change, because in order to include others in the conversations and in the room, you must feel that voice is of value. And you can't get someone to the mindset of inclusion without exposing them to diversity, different people, different thought processes, different concepts. So my thing would be, as far as how can I help with improving DEI within the industry, is for people to have the opportunity to be exposed to diversity in different roles, and they're exposed to the actions of individuals, the work ethic of individuals, the care of individuals, the passion that diverse individuals have for this industry. And I think once that exposure happens in an organic way, we'll then see more inclusion in our industry, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I love that you say in an organic way, because I think it's easy for us to be in our little bubbles of people that we are used to interacting with, or the types of folks that are just around us, whether that's industry or geographic or connections that you have. And so to really open people's mindsets about what they think other groups might be like, but in having an actual interaction and experience, would completely change what they had perceived in their mind. I agree. I can speak to this firsthand, that you think you know who someone is going to be like based on whatever categories you have checked off in your mind. But once you sit down and have a conversation and find out how many things that you have in common, everybody wants their kids to do well. Everybody wants to contribute at work. There's so many things that connect us versus keep us apart. I think this has been a wonderful discussion, and thank you for giving us your perspective on things and how we can all be a little better in building our teams and our communities in a more diverse and equity and inclusive way, so that we can all move into a better mindset. Thank you again for joining us, Kiki. I appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you guys for having me. I enjoyed it.
For more information about the Diversity Executive Leadership Program, visit the ACA NCAL website at ahcancal.org and search DELP. For other resources, visit the Provider Magazine website at providermagazine.com and search diversity. Thanks to everyone for listening to this episode of Perspectives in Long-Term Care. Join us each month as we discuss issues that impact the long-term and post-acute care profession. And be sure to subscribe to this podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Take care.